Welcome to the Dermatology Interest Group Association podcast, or DIGA podcast, where we talk about everything from how to become a stellar dermatology applicant to interesting topics in dermatology.
From research advice to interviewing tips, you will be prepared to follow the path to become a world-class dermatologist.
Hi, DIGA listeners. Welcome back to the DIGA podcast. My name is Juliet Nudovitz, and I'll be your host today. I'm an upcoming fourth-year medical student from New York. I attend New York Institute College of Osteopathic Medicine, and I'm a member of DIGA's Sun Protection Melanoma Awareness Committee. So today we'll be interviewing a very special guest in honor of Melanoma Awareness Month. She plays a vital role in melanoma awareness, as well as volunteer engagement. So today I have with me Miriam Pomerantz-Kadosh, the director of the Patient Engagement and Education at the MRF, Melanoma Research Foundation. Today, we'll learn more about Miriam's involvement with MRF, how she came to MRF, and also as you as medical students and DIGA listeners can get involved with the MRF, and any just advice from her in general. Welcome, Miriam. Really excited to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. To get things started, I just want to know a little bit more about you and your journey. Can you tell us some background about you?
Sure. Well, thanks again for having me. Again, my name is Miriam. I am an oncology social worker by training, but I'll go back a little farther. I went to the University of Maryland for undergrad and then went straight to social work school at the University of Pennsylvania, which brought me to Philadelphia. In my second year placement, I was placed at the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center in Jefferson Health. And I was an oncology social worker there. That's kind of where I got my first step into the oncology world. And then I moved to Baltimore this past July for my husband's residency. So he matched at the University of Maryland Medical Center here and the VA. So we moved here. And at that time, I was looking for a new job and had connected with some of the folks at the MRF as a social worker when I was helping support the melanoma, cutaneous melanoma and ocular melanoma patients as an oncology social worker at Jefferson. And so they had a job opening and they are located in DC. So would be a pretty good, relatively easy commute from Baltimore to DC. So I said, let's do it. So I went from being a social worker at a cancer center, serving all different diagnoses and patients, to going to a national organization with one disease type. But of course, as we know, many subtypes of melanoma as well. So that's kind of how I got here today, with lots of help from some amazing mentors and support people, and of course, family and friends. But now I am the director of education and patient engagement at the MRF, which you shared. Thank you for sharing a little bit about me. And yeah, I feel like I wear a lot of different hats, and especially as social workers, we do wear a lot of different hats, but in this role especially. So I'm excited to talk a little bit more about that as we get further into our conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's really interesting to hear. I know social workers do a lot of things, but I'm very interested they did the oncology social work. That's really cool. And I'm sure listeners will be excited to hear about your experiences with that as well. So you mentioned, you know, MRF's kind of your latest step in your journey. Can you tell us more about what MRF is all about and their mission?
Absolutely. So of course, our mission is to eradicate melanoma. And we do so by educating the community, funding research for melanoma, and advocating on the state and federal level for melanoma funding and research. So we do a lot, and we, of course, are headquartered in DC, but we have a national reach and have events and in-person programming all across the country. But a big piece is we fund research. And that really goes towards life-saving treatments for melanoma patients. We advocate on different issues that are important to the melanoma community, like making sure there's enough funding for research in the government and that, other issues. We actually just had our advocacy days about 3 weeks ago, at the beginning of March, where we brought advocates to the Hill on a plethora of different issues, and then education. So we do primary prevention education for the community at large. We know that everyone is under the same sun, and melanoma is has a huge preventable aspect, as we all know. And so we do prevention work, and then we also educate folks who are already diagnosed. So oftentimes someone will get a diagnosis and want to look up on Google or kind of search information on melanoma because they may have a lot of questions. So we want to be that answer to them and help support patients along their journey, whether that's during diagnosis, treatment, into survivorship, and then preventing any further melanomas as well. So we kind of run the full length of a person's journey and want to support patients and the community at large.
Wow, that's amazing. You really do go through each step. In regards to the research, is it mostly for big institutions, or are there ways to, you know, even for medical students, is there any way for medical students to kind of reach out and get involved with that?
Yeah. So if you go on our website, melanoma.org, you can read more about our research program, but there are different types of awards that we give out. And we do have a medical student award, which is really exciting. So if you go on our website under research grants, you can take a look at what's open. Of course, there are kind of deadlines, but there is a medical student award. There's a resident fellow award, pilot award, career development, established investigator team award, and clinical trials. So you can go on there. And then we're also always looking for advocate reviewers, folks that want to help us review the grants that we receive.
That's awesome. That's really great to know. I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in looking into that. That's something interesting coming from a medical student, but for you, what's one of your favorite programs in the MRF? Relates most to you?
Such a good question. We do so much. I think one of my favorite things that we do is going out in the community and really meeting people where they're at. Everyone brings their own story, brings their own experience. And I think that, you know, people are so much more than their diagnosis, and really making sure we humanize the folks that we work with and see them for who they are and all that they bring to the table. And so I think one of my favorite things that we do is our patient symposia series. So we go out to, this year we're going to 7 different cancer centers across the country and meeting with community members and putting on educational events. So it's a full day educational program at these cancer centers. And they have different speakers. We'll talk about the latest in research, clinical trials, and treatment, and also some psychosocial sessions as well on nutrition or navigation. And it's a really great chance for folks to meet with their care team on a more informal level that's outside of the doctor's office, and then also meet other patients. So I love, something I absolutely love and something I did at Jefferson was connect patients with other patients as part of like a peer-to-peer support. I think there's so much power in connecting with others to feel less alone. And so what I love is connecting patients with one another, and just some patients will say to me, they've never met another patient with X, Y, or Z diagnosis. And it's just really helps them feel less alone and supported when they can hear tips and tricks from another patient who's walked in their shoes ahead of them.
Wow, that's amazing. I completely can see how that would make a huge impact on both of them. Wow, that really is special. So you mentioned the website for the research. Is there anywhere on the website that students can reach out to see other opportunities such as that one on the website as well?
Yeah, so we have a one pager that I believe it's on our website. If not, I'll make sure it is, but a volunteer opportunities for medical students. We get questions all the time. Medical students are really interested in getting involved, which we absolutely love. So there are many ways that folks can get involved. It's just finding the right fit for them and, you know, time, you know, the amount of time that they have available. But for example, we have these we have these patient symposias across the country. These are open to the community. So if a medical student wanted to come, help volunteer, give out educational materials at one of our events, or even just come to listen to the talks, they're absolutely welcome to do that. So that would be on our website under events, and they can register for one of the events that might be close to them. Just to give you a little sampling, we are going this year to Chicago, Santa Monica, Washington, D.C., Ohio State, New York, Boston. Wow. I'm trying to think of where else we'll be, but we'll be all over. So that's one way.
Awesome.
We also have Miles for Melanoma events, mm-hmm. which are 5K. And it sounds like some people have been involved with those before, which is awesome. And we're in 17 different cities across the country this year. So mm-hmm. you could definitely catch us at one of those and get involved and be a volunteer at one of those events. It's a great opportunity to meet people in your local town, meet with dermatologists that might be hosting a table. And also just meeting with patients and talking to them in an informal, casual way, which I think is a great opportunity for students. Another way is to become a certified melanoma educator on our mm-hmm. website. So they can go on our website under courses and take our melanoma educator course, and then can give lectures or host discussions at their schools on the risks of melanoma and how to take preventative measures. Lots of ways, but
I'll send you
the volunteer opportunities, but
awesome.
They are plentiful. So it just kind of is finding the right fit.
Amazing. Yes. And I'll put that link on the bottom of the podcast so our listeners can, access that as well. From my school, all the things you just mentioned, the DIGA from my chapter, at least, they've tried to get involved with the MRF and the educated course. So definitely a great opportunity for students. And I remember those were like some of the most exciting things that you get from my chapter, put out with. So, because we do get to meet a lot of people. And you're right, at the MRF, there are dermatologists there. You get to, meet some people, see their work, also like meet members of the community. So definitely.
A great opportunity. Yeah. For networking for sure.
Absolutely. So you mentioned all these different cities. For individuals who want to get in contact with MRF in those cities, how should they go about it?
Yeah, so we're actually not chapter based. Like I said, we're headquartered. So mm-hmm. if they want to reach out to us at volunteer@melanoma.org,
mm-hmm.
they can reach out for more information and we can kind of get them to the right people.
Got it. I'll take that down too. Okay, perfect. Awesome. And then, could you give our listeners an update on anything you're currently working on or any exciting projects in the future down the pipeline?
I love this question. So we have so many exciting new things coming down the pipeline. I think one of the most exciting things that we're currently working on that I think students will be excited about too is we're putting together revitalizing our SunAware curriculum. So SunAware is our K through 12 in-school based curriculum on sun safety and melanoma prevention. And so we are taking it up a notch and we are digitizing the program and gamifying it. So hopefully by the end of the year, we will have a K through 5, that's where we're starting, new digital program that will be available on our website. So this is a great way for students to help engage with us and help us engage with schools and students, because we know that students, children K through 5 are very impressionable and need to start protecting their skin as early as even earlier than kindergarten, but kind of start to take it on their own and learn in school. And so we hope that this program will encourage children young to practice sun safety as they get older, and really drill it in young and have them bring the information home with them too, so that they can inform their parents and their and their friends about how to stay sun safe. And it will be catered towards, you know, each grade as their reading level and as their, you know, literacy, where that takes them. So we're making sure that it is understandable for the K through 5 age range now, and then hopefully we'll go up to 12th grade.
That's amazing. Wow, that would be really impactful. Because as adults, I think a lot of people have regrets. Like, I wish I knew, you know, it was something that happened. No one really told me. It's not something you're aware of as a child. Like, you shouldn't get burned. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. So having that knowledge, I think, would really help with preventive measures. Like you said, that was really incredible.
Yeah. And exciting. I think it's, we're doing it in a fun way with an avatar. Mm-hmm. So it's the way in which kids like to learn anyway. And so we're really reaching them, you know, at the stage that, and the level that they are at. So, I'm really excited to see kind of how that impact, what that impact will be, mm-hmm. and hopefully behavior change because of it. So we're definitely going to try and track all of that through different polls and ways through our gamified platform.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that in action. That's a great idea. I really love that. That brings me into my next question. I was going to ask you, any recommendations on how we could spread melanoma awareness during Melanoma Awareness Month in May? That's definitely one of them, but...
Yeah, so something else we're working on that's really cool. We did last year, we did a TikTok and Instagram filter. So last year's was kind of a play on sun safety, different things to keep yourself safe. And this year we're working on a new fun TikTok and Instagram filter. And I don't want to share too much yet, but it will be ready to go May 1st.
Okay.
So be on the lookout for getting involved and using our filter. And that will be a really great way for people to get involved and learn more about sun safety and how to protect their skin. So very excited for that. But also follow us on all of our socials, because we are constantly posting all the time, but especially during Melanoma Awareness Month, and ways to get involved. And if anyone has an initiative that they're starting, we'd love to help share that. So
awesome.
You know, people can reach out to us again at volunteer@melanoma.org if they'd like to share something that we can help amplify. But really, ways to get involved is resharing our posts, following us on social media, maybe teaching a course or a melanoma course at your school, or holding your own fundraising event. All these different ways can help make a difference in spreading awareness and making people aware of melanoma and how preventable it can be.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's very, very valuable information. Awesome. To break away a bit from MRF, now that we have all the information, we know how to get involved, we know the opportunities out there. I wanted to talk a little bit more about you and your lessons you learned from your work, from volunteering. I think it's really important to medicine in general. So my first question would be, how has volunteerism impacted your life?
Yeah, I think, as you know, growing up, it was always so important for our family. My mom ran a volunteer connection agency, actually, growing up, and in Baltimore. And so we were always getting involved in different initiatives that they were doing. And it kind of instilled in us the importance of volunteering. And I think what's so important that I recognize early on, and it sounds cliche, but you really get more out of it than you put in when you take a step back and look at what you've done. And I know sometimes tasks can get monotonous, or you don't know if you're making a true impact. But I think taking a step back and seeing how much you can do, and how even just that little task helps get something done, can really help overall. So, you know, whether it's helping, you know, a task get done at our Miles for Melanoma events, or volunteering to create a fundraiser, you're really making an impact on the lives of patients who unfortunately are, in this case, melanoma patients. So I think you know, taking a step back and saying, wow, like, I can be energized by this and let me find the right avenue.
Absolutely. Wow. I really love that. And that means a lot, especially for medical students too, because sometimes we get so zoned in on, you know, courses, doing this, doing that. And at the end of the day, just sometimes you need to enjoy the steps you take and enjoy what you're working for. Oh,
it has to. Yeah, it has to be enjoyable. And I try, even if I try to see, like, what was that impact or what did I get out of it? So maybe I had a great networking conversation, or I, you know, or someone said something to me that I'm going to hold on to for the rest of my week. Like, that makes a difference. Yeah. In those little conversations. So sometimes when it's like you're exhausted from studying and you don't want to, you know, go out in the cold or whatever it may be, kind of remind yourself that, you know, everything leads you to your next opportunity, which is really cool.
Absolutely. I love that. And then piggybacking on that, you do provide a lot of resources for patients and their families. So I wanted to ask you, are there any specific interactions that you've had in the past that stick with you to this day and inspire you?
Yeah, so I have so many answers that I could answer to this question. I think something that I'll share is that I run a support group every month. And you know, it's a late one because we have some folks on the West Coast. So it's 8 to 9:30 once a month. And sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so exhausted. How will I get through this support group? And every time I get on, I am greeted by the most resilient, humble, interesting people that want to share and are encouraged by others. And I'm just really always humbled, really, and amazed by the stories that folks share and their resiliency and just wanting to give back to one another. Some people, you know, are not going through daily or weekly treatments or active treatment at all, but they want to share their story with other patients to help them as well. So I'm really always amazed. And, you know, I find that they are doing most of the talking in the support group. I'm there as the facilitator and support person to help with resources. But I really, I'm really always feel a lot of gratitude when I finish those groups.
That's amazing. You really are, I feel, a perfect resource for this, you know, melanoma awareness for students.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. Everything you're saying.
I can absolutely, like, identify with being a student as well. So I understand and can help talk things through, I think, especially as, you know, medical school, you know, is crazy. And there's so many avenues that you can take. And there's always something going on. So it's kind of, where do you want to, how are you going to fill your bucket? And it sounds like the DIGA students are really motivated, and everyone I've talked to from a DIGA group has really been interested and excited about the work that we do, and that excites me even further about furthering our mission, because I know that there are future students, that future doctors that are excited about the work and are going to help and push the next generation forward.
Absolutely amazing. And then for our listeners who want to learn more about you or connect with you, I know you gave that email before, the volunteer@melanoma.org. Do you have any other contacts that would be best to reach out to? You said the social media pages.
Yeah. So our social media pages, which is Cure Melanoma on Instagram. I'm going to try it and find all of our social media handles. Let's see. And then if you want to reach out to me directly, you can reach out to me at education@melanoma.org. Okay. So yeah, our Instagram is Cure Melanoma. Our Twitter/X is Cure Melanoma as well. We also have all of our videos on YouTube from all of our patient events. So if anyone wants to watch those, they can go to our YouTube page, which is also Cure Melanoma. Add us on LinkedIn or TikTok.
Okay, got it. I'll add all these links to the bottom of the
happy to connect. Yeah.
Okay. And then a few last questions for you. You mentioned, because of your work, I feel like you can relate to students, but you also really relate to medicine and you relate to volunteering and connecting with patients. So any recommendations for medical students when they enter their clinical rotations or residency when it comes to collaborating with patients and their families or like handling sensitive information? Any recs?
Yeah, great question. I think A, use your resources. It's okay to not know an answer to every question. It's better to not make it up than to say, hey, let me get back to you. And lastly, I think I would just say, be an active listener. Mm-hmm. And an active listener is someone that is really listening to what the patient is telling you and not thinking about what you're going to say next.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not having the checklist in your head of what you're going to say next, but really listening and understanding what they're saying. So then you can devise your plan afterwards. But I think patients want to be heard and oftentimes come to you for many of their needs. So really being a partner in their care instead of, you know, like a hierarchy, but really being a partner with the patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, if any of us do end up making it to become a dermatologist or any practicing provider, do you have any recommendations on how we can get involved with MRF, you know, on the other side of this, or any ideas where we can get involved or help the foundation?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish you all luck, first of all. I know it's hard out there. I have an aunt and an uncle that are both dermatologists.
Oh, so wow.
It's possible. But in terms of MRF, I mean, we are, as you know, a patient advocacy organization. And there are many patient advocacy organizations for all different types of chronic diseases. But we are, really have the pulse on patients. So I think it's a great place for people to connect with us and other organizations. From the dermatology perspective, we have a prevention committee that we have dermatologists sit on, and actually DIGA representatives as well. And we also have a dermatology advisory council. So we have derms from all across the country really help us support our initiatives. So if I have a new educational material that's going out, I'll review it with one of my dermatologists that's saying, like, how would this read for patients? And how is this from the medical expertise? You know, how are these pictures? Like, they really help us and advise us on some of our initiatives. So it's a great opportunity for dermatologists to get involved with us as well. We have monthly Ask the Expert webinars. So oftentimes our derms will do derm specific topics. We had our Dermatology Advisory Council meeting 2 weeks ago in San Diego at AAD. So we got to see them all in person, which was a really great opportunity. And lots of great free flowing ideas came out from that meeting. So I appreciate all of the expertise and collaboration that we have with our dermatologists.
Awesome. Wow. This organization, I feel like, does so much. And thank you for everything you do to contribute to it. I think this is a really great organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that wraps up most of the questions. So the last thing I want to say is, you know, thank you so much for talking to us today. I want to express my gratitude for you joining us and, you know, giving these opportunities to us. Is there anything else you'd like to add or any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I would just say, first of all, thank you as well, and for wanting and your interest in getting involved and supporting patients. I think at the end of the day, we are advocates for patients. And so to remember that the patient and the patient story is at the forefront of everything that we do, and it really gives us the why and the motivation. So I just want to remind you all that as you work with patients, remember the why you chose to do this and why you want to support patients, helping them to thrive and succeed. And that's our goal. We want to help educate the community, our patient community. We want to advocate for our patients, and we really want to push research so that we can eradicate this disease. And we are really excited that DIGA is continuing to want to collaborate with us in all the different ways that we talked about here. And just know, if anything was confusing or if you have additional questions, again, please feel free to reach out. We're happy to talk to you and excited to have you involved.
Thank you, Miriam. Absolutely. And again, listeners, we'll put all those links below. So feel free to reach out to Miriam and her amazing team. Again, they put patients first, and this is a great opportunity for you as students to help both the community and patients alike. So absolutely. Thank you, Miriam.
Thanks, Juliet. Take care.
You too.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the DIGA podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Please send us any questions or comments to derminterestpod@gmail.com.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.